So I wanted just to address this fear because some investors are concerned that rents are not going to grow, and it's just incorrect. What is important to understand is what has been the historic rent growth before you join and and invest in a new asset. I would ask two questions.
Let's get ready to scale.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Ready to Scale. I'm your host, Ellie Perlman, broadcasting from the beautiful Los Angeles. And today we are going to talk about investors' concerns. We're going to talk about what is on many investors' minds these days and addressing fears head on. So, just a little bit of a background. We are owner and operators of multifamily assets across the US. We have bought and sold in multiple markets, from C class assets all the way to A minus and B plus assets. And so when we are talking with investors, we essentially hear a lot of questions, a lot of concerns, and we see it also on the websites, in different online forums. We hear it in when we go to events and conversations between sponsors and investors. And so I wanted to talk about what we have been seeing out there as the major concerns that investors have right now. And hopefully that is, going to provide a little bit of value to you, whether you had some fears of your own that you have been considering to make some changes to your investments or your strategy, and whether, you're just curious to understand what other investors are thinking about, what's on their mind. This is why we're having this conversation today. So there are a few specific fears that are essentially related to the market conditions. One of them is rent decline. It's a valid fear because I would say that in the past, up to maybe 18, 24 months ago, rents have been, for the most part, going one way and it was up, but not anymore. So, of course, there are some outliers out there. It doesn't mean that all assets 3, 4, 5, 7 years ago were increasing their essentially the rents went up, but it means that more assets is essentially experienced rent growth. And I can share with you on some assets. We had an asset, for instance, in Atlanta, Georgia, that the rent increases that we have received was almost 60%, 60. And that is insane. It's great. Of course, it was great for our investors, but it's not something we see in today's market. So what's happening is that on some assets we've seen in the market, we've seen some rents that have been declining. In some of them, the rent growth is still positive, but it's not as high as it was years ago. All in all, and if you've been listening to my other solo, I call them solo episodes, my other solo episode, I was talking about the fact that rent is pretty much, it grew by 0.5% from a year ago. And so it's still positive, but it's almost flat. So the good news is that we don't see rent declines across the board, but there are more assets that are experiencing rent declines. And there are a few reasons for that. One is that there's a lot of new inventory, new assets that are now in the lease up period, meaning that the building is ready and they've started bringing tenants in. And to do that, they're very much incentivized to wrap this process up as fast as they can. And so they offer a lot of concessions, a lot of specials. It could be a month free, 2 weeks free, 3 months free, a brand new TV if you join, all kinds of concessions that they offer in order to lure tenants in because guess what? They got a pretty not attractive loan that they need to return, and they need the income from the new renters in order to pay it up. And so, generally speaking, rent growth has declined across, I would say, probably across the board. So we don't see 30, 40, 50% rent increases. I can share with you that we have an asset, for instance, in our portfolio that last month we received 20, 21% rent increases. Now we needed to renovate the units in order to get those rent increases. On other units, where we have just turned the unit, meaning we just did a little bit of touch up, cleaning the carpet, did not renovate it, we received about 5%. There's some assets that it's almost flat. So that is to say that rents are not declining across the board. Rent growth is a little bit slower than it was before, but there's still assets out there that experience rent growth, whether you need to renovate the unit or just clean it up for the next tenant. So I wanted just to address this fear because some investors are concerned that rents are not going to grow, and it's just incorrect. What is important to understand is what has been the historic rent growth before you join and and invest in a new asset. I would ask two questions to make sure that your fear is not justified. One is what do the financials show when it comes to rent growth? Is the last 12 months, has it been any rent growth in this new investment? Because if rents were going, let's say a specific asset you're looking into investing, there has been a negative 7% rent growth. Why would this deal makes sense if the sponsor were modeling, 12 or 3 or 5% rent increases, unless they're maybe renovating or bringing new management. It got to be a good reason for that. The second question that I would ask is, are there any new construction in the area that could, in the future, during the hold period, impact the rent growth at the property? So a good sponsor is actually going to look at the lease up periods during the hold period of the asset that they're buying, and they're going to look at how many units are coming online and going to compete with the property they're buying, and then model some softening in rent growth or no rent growth or even negative rental growth to compensate for it. Because the truth is, if there's going to be a new building there next to you, they're going to fight for every tenant, and that would put pressure on the asset that you're buying. So the deal can still work as long as you're not assuming that you can keep pushing rents while the next door building that is brand new is going to maybe match the rent to the older asset that you're purchasing. So that's one concern that investors have around rent declines or rent growth. The second one is the value, the values of the property. And it's and I've been hearing it a lot that because cap rates have expanded, we're not yet where they're compressed. I think it's going to take a little bit of time, but cap rates have expanded, which means that the same NOI for an asset in the same location 3 years ago, when the market was 3.5, 4% cap, 3% in some of them, it means that the value of the asset is not as high. And so, compared to 3 years. So, this is one fear that I've been seeing with investors that essentially are saying, base the NOI is growing year over year, but cap rates when up from, let's say, 3.5% to 5%, sometimes 5.5%, the asset is not doesn't is not does not have the same value as it did when we invested, or a year ago, or 3 years ago. And even though I'm not an investment advisor, in my education, I'm a real estate attorney, and I have an MBA from MIT Sloan School of Management. I run Blue Lake, I own Blue Lake, and we've done about $1 billion in transaction volume. So this is not a formal investment advice, and of course, only make investment decisions after you educate yourself and speak with your investment advisors. The way that I see it, the way that we see it at Blue Lake, is that the valuation matters to some extent as long as you're holding the asset but not exiting. It matters more when you exit. And what I mean by that is that if I own an if I bought an asset and now I'm renovating the units, usually it takes 18 to 24 months to complete the value add plan, to renovate the units, renovate the exterior, maybe do some rebranding, et cetera. During that time, more units are offline, meaning more units are not leasable because the team in place, the construction team, is working on those units. Now, during that time, NOI and income can be a bit lower because you're using the first 2 years to renovate the units. So, and if you add the extension of cap rate, you can artificially, or at that point in time, the value of the asset, the book value, goes down. It doesn't really matter unless you're trying to exit the asset. And then the value really is important. So even if you are in year four out of the 5 year of business plan, and let's say you bought it at 100, you want to sell it at 130, and right now with cap rates, it's actually on the books, it's worth 110, let's say. It doesn't it matters more if you're trying to exit at year four rather than at year five. So the book value of it and fluctuation based on cap rates do not matter as much. It's very, very critical when you're trying to exit because the combination of NOI and cap rates is what is going to determine the value of your asset. So this is just something to keep in mind when investors are concerned about the valuation. Valuation really matters when you buy the asset, of course, because you don't want to overpay, but especially when you sell it. It's similar to holding a stock, let's say non-paying dividend stock, that you paid for it a certain amount, you don't want to overpay. But if it goes up and down, unless you're willing to sell your position in that company and get rid of your shares, it doesn't change much the fact that it's going up and down. Besides maybe your willingness to sell the share. So that's just something to keep in mind when it comes to the valuation that are going down. Now, there is some concern there, obviously, that is a valid concern that evaluations are not going to be high enough when you're supposed to exit. So we can't really control the cap rates because valuation is a function of NOI, net operating income, and cap rates. We cannot control cap rates, but we can control to some extent, of course, the NOI. So as long as the NOI is growing year over year, you're in a better position as an investor to have a successful exit because when it comes to the things that you can control, at least you're doing whatever you can.
Ready to Scale is brought to you by Blue Lake Capital, where we hunt down the best multifamily investment opportunities that we can find and invite investors to join in with us. We target Class B value add multifamily properties across the Sun Belt. Our CEO, Ellie Perlman, invests a substantial amount of capital into every deal. This means our interests are aligned with yours. If you're an accredited investor looking to expand your portfolio and diversify sponsors, be sure to visit us at bluelake-capital.com. Blue Lake Capital, be bold, be extraordinary, and keep moving forward.
You know, the one thing I wanted to talk about is also the investor psychology of, you know, FOMO versus the fear of losing money. And so FOMO, those of you who don't know, it's fear of missing out. Back in 2020, 2021, some of 2022, there was a lot of FOMO. We used to receive calls from investors asking us, texting us, emailing us, when is the next deal coming? I want to invest. I have money to invest. And it seems like everyone wanted to invest in multifamily and in real estate. It was very trendy to do it. And I think that at that point, it was less prudent to invest a lot without, vetting sponsors and without making sure that you're vetting the deals. But that was, we definitely felt the FOMO from people who wanted to invest, and we are historically buying slower than other sponsors because most deals just don't work. And me and my family were also investing heavily in every asset, and so if it's not good enough for us to invest, we don't bring it to our investors. And so now I've seen a shift to fear of losing money, where even if there's a solid deal in front of investors, many times they're doubting their ability to make a good decision, and to invest because they're afraid of losing money, losing their principal. And I always tell investors, don't invest if you don't feel comfortable. Don't feel comfortable, just don't do it. It's not worth it. And I do think that wealth is being built when people do things that are beyond what they feel comfortable with. To some extent, right? You shouldn't be investing in a deal and then lose sleep over it. But the fear of losing money sometimes kills opportunities that are good opportunities in front of you. So when it comes to vetting deals and investing in the right deals, you really have to separate your emotions. This shouldn't be a FOMO, shouldn't be an overly excitement. Deals are exciting to those who are chasing them, like us. So we're excited when we actually see a deal that actually works. But for investors, it should be the emotion should be removed from the deals. And so I would say just go back to basics. Look at the debt first and foremost. Make sure that you're comfortable with the debt. We only invest now with assets that actually work with fi a fixed rate loan on them. And the only way I would probably do bridge is with fluctuating interest rate is if we underwrite to the maximum interest rate with a rate cap, which is essentially like an insurance that can cap the amount of interest you're going to pay for each asset. But I personally feel more comfortable with a fixed rate loan. And so make sure that you look into the debt, which many investors now these days know to ask and to look at it. And then the second thing would be to look at the occupancy assumptions, make sure that it's realistic. And then also, I would say the third item is looking at the rent growth and make sure that you feel comfortable. If there's a 10% rent growth, it's kind of a red flag, and I would ask, how did you get to that number? So, a way to mitigate the risk and kind of lose the fear of losing money is if you understand how the property is operating today. So, when we're looking at a deal and they're renovating, and in today's market, they're getting, let's say, $220 premiums, then we might want to use that number or a number that is lower than that. Not a number that is higher than that. We would try to get, let's say, $250, maybe $300 premiums, but we're not going to underwrite it. So just understanding those very important metrics that can really impact a deal's success can help you with the fear of losing money. So, and of course, vetting sponsors is really important. Only invest with someone that you feel comfortable, and that can help with addressing some of the concerns and some of the fears. And if you, as an investor, do not feel comfortable investing now, actually, this is the great time to reach out to sponsors and do due diligence before you're ready to deploy money, before you're ready to invest. Ask them how their assets are doing, how are they dealing with the struggles of real estate right now. if they have a challenging asset, if they have a winning asset, what the differences between them, what they've learned throughout the years. This is actually a good time not to shun away from multifamily and be scared of it, but to say, even if I don't feel comfortable investing now, I want to reach out to A, B, C, and D, talk with them, start reading about what they're doing. So when I am ready, I can go back and invest. So just from the fear of between the FOMO and the fear of losing money, it's always important to reach out to the sponsors and to understand what they're doing right now. So one of the things I wanted to talk about when it comes to addressing fears head on is making sure that you know how to diversify. And that's really important. So when I'm talking about diversification, it could be across different sponsors or different assets, different markets. Because the truth is that when a market shifts, it doesn't impact all markets in the same way. And so when you're diversifying, it's very important to do that in a very calculated manner with some strategy behind it. And when you mitigate risk this way, that can really help with the concerns and the fears of, losing everything. And of course, if you put all your eggs in one basket and this basket is one hell of a home run, that was great. But the likelihood of that happens with just one single investment is not very high. And so it's really important to diversify, whether you invest in a fund or you invest with multiple sponsors. That's, always very important. And then, the last piece that I wanted to talk about to kind of conclude the discussion today is to focus on actually working with experienced sponsors. Really investing with sponsors that have bought and sold, that have been operating in different markets. And everyone has their own, I would say, threshold of what an experienced sponsor is. Obviously, a sponsor that has been around for a year may, probably is not going to be experienced for many of our listeners, but essentially, this is extremely important to make sure that you invest with someone experienced. It doesn't mean that they're going to make, kind of hit a home run on every investment. There's still going to be some pain, whether it's today, 3, 5, 10 years from now. But the more experienced one, A, they have a wider net worth that can back up some assets. They are more experienced, so the likelihood of experiencing a lot of pain across the board is lower. And there's always that one or two assets that could be challenging, but the more experienced ones can actually handle it, pretty well from start to finish. So that was essentially these are the thoughts that I wanted to share with you. These are the questions and the things that we are have been hearing from investors that represent some of their fears and concerns. And so I want to encourage you, if you have any concern or fear that you want to discuss or you want me to talk about, feel free to email us to info@bluelake-capital.com, and I'll do my best to address at least some of them on the podcast. And just remember that you're being compensated when the deal pays for the ability and the willingness to take a risk. Every investment has risk. Some investments have higher risk than others, but they all bear risk. So if somebody promises you that that you kind of a deal that you cannot lose, that's the main red flag, and that I would caution you to focus on. And so it's always about assessing how comfortable you are with the risks, and of course, as with making sure that you actually understand what those risks are and know what questions to ask. That's it for today. I hope that brought value to at least some of you. If you can do me a favor, go to iTunes or anywhere you listen to the podcast and leave us a 5-star review if you think we're, of course, worth getting that review. That would be great. I highly appreciate it. My team and I put a lot of effort into creating the content and recording and editing what you're seeing or hearing right now. So it would be highly appreciated. And if you want to talk with us about investing in our fund, the Blue Lake Multifamily Fund, or any other investment opportunities that we have open right now, feel free to visit us at bluelake-capital.com. You can leave your information there. We have an investor forum page where you can send us your information and we will get back to you. Thank you, everyone, and have a great day.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.